Well, 2016, the year of the political earthquake. First it was Brexit, leading to a change of Prime Minister just 1 year after David Cameron had won a historic majority. And then it was Donald Trump, leading the Daily Mail to run the headline, Trump Quake, and the Guardian to declare somewhat apocalyptically, Trump wins, now the world waits. Political earthquakes. Well, in our final reading, which we had, an apparently innocent question also sets off an earthquake. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The question is political dynamite. Why? Well, Herod himself styled himself as the king of the Jews. And since there can only be one king of the Jews, does that mean that Herod is an imposter? But more than that, if this child really is the king of the Jews, then prophecies of his coming state that his rule is not limited to the Jews. On the contrary, the rule of this king will be universal. Every knee will bow. So this is a political earthquake for humankind, for 2016. So just in a few brief moments, let's follow the wise men to find out why. We just have three very simple things to say. And the first is this. Three kings. Now, where does it say that? Well, it doesn't. They're not kings, and we don't know how many there are. But they are wise men from the east. And what about the star that they follow? Do we know anything about it? Why they associated it with the birth of a king? Or how they followed it? And again, we're not told. Why doesn't Matthew, in his account of Jesus' life in his gospel, why doesn't he tell us? Why does he leave so many questions unanswered? Well, like a jeweler who sets off the beauty of a diamond by placing it against a dark background, Matthew keeps much in the dark so that we see the diamond. We see the one thing that matters, which is the wise men have come to worship Jesus. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now this is a great time of year. Christmas trees, Christmas lights, carol services, winter wonderland, Star Wars, get-togethers, eating, drinking, giving, receiving. It's Christmas. But there's something bigger. Something that we're in danger of missing. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Are you looking for Jesus? Three kings, two kings. Now, when Herod gets to hear, he's troubled and his thoughts turn to murder. When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." But it's a lie. He wants the child dead. Why? He's just a child, born to a peasant girl. What's the panic? Well, if this child is the real king of the Jews, then Herod is an imposter. But it's more than that. It's the title which this child is given. He's the Christ, Herod calls all the wise men, chief priests and scribes, and he inquires of them where the Christ was to be born. This child is the Christ. Now, the Christ is a title. And the Bible tells us that the Christ, that he is the king to end all kings. That he's the Son of God, clothed with majesty, glory and power, whose kingdom will have no end, who will rule the nations, who will bring the blessing of God to the families of the earth. And the Christ who will mend that broken relationship between God and us, who will make all things new, who will even banish death itself. Says the Bible, the future is Christ-shaped. So what's Herod's problem? Well, he doesn't want a Christ-shaped future. He wants a Herod-shaped future. And there's no room for both. Hence his murderous plan. What of us? What of me? Do I want a Christ-shaped future? Maybe yes, maybe no. Gloucestershire police came in for some stick this week for describing a missing woman as chubby. A post on their social media read, Elizabeth is described as a white female in her 40s, chubby build, brown hair, wearing a blue jacket, dark trousers, white check shirt, and trainers. Well, you'll be pleased to know it has a happy ending. Elizabeth was found safe. But some folk were upset by the words. A chubby build. One wrote on the force's Facebook, chubby build? That's just plain rude. And another added, couldn't you come up with something less offensive? But weren't they missing the point? Instead of stumbling over the word chubby, what should have really have caught their attention is that this poor woman had gone missing. And that her family were worried. They were desperate. That was the real story. And as someone else posted, as a chubby person myself, I think that's a very good way to describe me. But you see the point. They missed the fact that she was missing because they stumbled over the word chubby. And it can be like that with Jesus. We can just stumble over the name. The name somehow, and we go no further. And we stumble over the name and we don't take in the full story, the real story. Last week I was posting the church magazine Spotlight through various letterboxes. And I came to a door which said no advertising, so I'm okay with that. Then it said no politics, I'm all right with that. Then it said no religion. So I hovered. So I put it through the letterbox because this person might regard what I'm about to post through as religion. But Jesus is bigger than religion. In fact, in Jesus' day, the religious people didn't think that Jesus took religion seriously. No, because what he had to say and do is bigger than going to church and keeping the rules. What if he is the king to end all kings? Whose name is wonderful? The answer to all our questions. The end of all our searchings. The absolute. The ultimate. What if he really is Emmanuel? God with us, who has come to rebuild that broken bridge between God and us, who forgives sins, who changes lives, so that I find my all in him, who died and rose, is ascended, is seated upon the throne of the universe. Wouldn't he be worth knowing? Wouldn't he be worth searching for? Three kings, two kings, finally, King of Kings. What's the right way to respond to Jesus? Well, it's not to stumble over his name, is it? The right way to respond is to follow the wise men. Are you dreaming of a white Christmas? This is my 25th carol service at Amiens Park. I think only once we've had snow. That was in 2010. No snow this year, but who knows? Are you dreaming of a white Christmas? You know the excitement of that first snowflake. And as you watch it silently fall, you know the air is soon going to be filled with millions of flakes. They're dancing, spiraling, pirouetting. And the first snowflake announces the coming of the many. And what have we got here? Wise men from the east. It's the first snowflake. And soon people in their millions, from every place, from every nation, will be coming to worship and to adore the Christ. That's why this is bigger than Brexit. That's why this is bigger than Trumpquake. This is a king for everyone, everywhere. And maybe a king for you. The king to end all kings. Why not follow the wise men? They came from afar. And maybe you've just taken your first step. You've thought, I do stumble over the name. Maybe I ought to look a little bit further. Maybe I will take this Jesus seriously. They followed a small light in a big sky. And maybe that's all the light that you have. Maybe you have a Christian friend, or you've just heard the readings for the first time. It's a very small light in a very big sky. But maybe it's just beginning to make sense. And they weren't afraid to ask questions. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Never feel silly to ask questions about Jesus. Tell me more. Where can I find him? What's the quickest route? And like the wise men, don't stop until you've found him and poured at his feet your life, your soul, your all. At the back on the shelves, there are some Gospels. There's Luke, Matthew, Mark. You can read their different accounts of the life of Jesus. They're free. Just take one if you wish. Take all three if you wish. But they're there at the back shelves, if you wish to have them, to find out more. The wise men were directed from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Tonight, the Bible directs us from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. At the climax of Matthew's gospel, Jesus finally comes face to face with Pontius Pilate, the representative of the world's greatest king, Caesar. And his soldiers will be the first since the wise men to call Jesus the King of the Jews. But they will crown him with thorns, and they will enthrone him on a cross. And instead of a bright star, the sky will turn black. And out of that strange darkness, we hear a single Gentile voice. Truly, this was the Son of God. The King has come, and come to die. I must never forget that I've rebelled against the King of Kings, and that for every act of rebellion, there is a price to pay. But upon that cross, Jesus pays the price. He dies the punishing death that I deserve to die, so that all who find him enjoy peace with God, life everlasting, life that begins when we bow the knee to Jesus.